This is the outlook and the ministry of the prophet. Okay, let's go and visit a prophet. And we're from Channel 7, okay? And Channel 7 News, and we want to visit. What prophet would you like to visit, Beverly? Oh, Isaiah, my favorite. Yeah, Isaiah's my favorite prophet, and Ezekiel is my second prophet. I spent my life studying both of them. Isaiah, studying it with the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Hebrew Dead Sea Scrolls found in Cave 4. Okay, let's go and visit Isaiah, Channel 7. What's it all about? What are you doing here? Do you get paid? Who employed you? So on. Ah, and Isaiah, the prophet, he would open up the idea of what it's all about. He's got a backward look. He's got his ministry. This is true of all the prophets. He's got the backward look. And then he's got his present ministry. And then he's got a future look. He's looking past, present, and future. So, what are the present ministry of a prophet? Well, let's choose a verse. Let's choose Zechariah 1:1-6. This is what they did. They dealt with the defection from covenanted obligations and a call to return to covenant loyalty, and they used the word repent. Repent. Get back to God. The prophets are back to God movement. Get back to God. Get back to the covenant that God had given you. Because all that is happening to you, blessings and cursings, are based on that law that was given to you at Mount Sinai and reiterated in our book of Deuteronomy in the plains of Moab. So that is their message. Repent. Repent. I was at a conference in December in India. And a dear brother was ministering on the seven letters to the seven churches. And you know what his message was? And what the message is of those seven churches? To the churches? From Jesus? Repent! We think of repentance as the message we only preach to the seeker or someone in our church services that needs to get to the Lord. Have you ever heard of a church repenting? I have. Yes. It may be necessary for blessing. This is what God was doing through his prophets. Let's have a look at Zechariah 1. Zechariah chapter 1. Back to Zechariah again. One of my favorite prophets also. We did Zechariah at Western Sydney Bible School for 2 months in August and September. A blessed time. Zechariah chapter 1. In the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius, the Persian, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, "The Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." That is Yahweh Tsebaoth, the Lord of armies. Do not be like your former fathers, a former prophet, to whom the former prophets preached, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds." But they did not hear nor heed me. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? And so on and so on. It's a return to the Lord. It's a repentance. That's the ministry of the prophets, calling back the people to God. Calling back the people to God, calling them back to covenant loyalty. How did all this start? Well, they look back, you see. Remember the forefathers? Remember the law that's promised here? It's all there in the early scriptures. God established the covenant with the nation of Israel. Amos 3:2 we read, "You only do I know among all the families of the earth," to Israel. Now, it's not he knows about all the other nations, but he's only known them in electing love and chosen them to be a special people to him and to be a channel of blessing. And these covenants set up the relationship, the Abrahamic covenant, that Abraham's seed would go on forever, that Abraham's land would last forever, and that a seed would come that would be the Savior of the world and King of the world, and all the world would be blessed in him. The Mosaic Covenant was given for the nation of Israel so that they would be equipped to be able to serve him and to be a blessing to the whole world. And written into that, as in the land and the Palestinian covenant, the cursings and the blessings of obeying or disobeying God. The nation of Israel is the only nation on earth that has a covenant relationship with God. And the covenant relationship is conditional. It's made up of conditional commandments. If you obey me, I will bless you. If you disobey me, I will curse you. Curse will your womb. Curse will be your food. You will be cursed and scattered around all the nations of the world. I'm making you the head nation. If you disobey me, I will make you the tail nation, the lowest nation on earth. And all the nations of the world will scatter you around the world, and they will hiss and say. Paul said the name of God is blasphemed by the nation of Israel amongst all the nations of Israel in his day and today. But a better day is coming. A better day is coming. And then David is going to be raised up as that king. And when he is raised up, God said that there will never be a man lacking to sit on that throne, and that's fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come very soon and take that throne. Now, while they're looking at the past and calling people back to these covenants, these prophets, they also, in these covenants, have a word which is, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And so we have the ultimate promises and blessings fulfilled in the first covenant and in the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to read an encouraging message in the book of a very discouraging book, the book of Jeremiah, judgment on Zedekiah and closing down the theocracy in 586 BC, you read those chapters. Oh, how wonderful they are. They're called by scholars the book of comfort, Jeremiah 31, 32 and 33. Everything will be restored. So that's what they said. He's coming and the blessings are coming. Just give me 5 minutes, folks, and we'll finish by turning to page 11 and just making a few remarks. Page 11, remember, we're still at 15,000 feet. We're just looking at the terrain. Page number 11, the message of the prophets. Just what are they saying? Let's just hone in on this and see what they are saying. Well, let's take all the 17 books in the Bible, let's put them in a pot, and let's boil them up, okay? We'll boil them up, and boil them up, and boil them up, and come back a little later. And, oh, in this pot we've got two lumps. And we've got the letter E on both of those two lumps. This is summarizing the message of the prophets. And it is this. One of the main themes of the prophets is an ethical message. See what we have in the notes here? The evils and the sins of the day are being dealt with. And there is a call back to God and the Mosaic Covenant. That's their main theme. And then there's also another lump, and it's got the letter E on it. And it's an eschatological outlook. That is, that even though this is happening, and God is judging and disciplining, he is going to gain the victory, and this is what he's going to do eventually, eschatologically. A word of hope for the immediate future and the ultimate future. Now, what about the prophets and me? How can I relate to them? How can I get anything out of them? Well, strangely enough, we find that when we read the Word of God, when we read the prophets, we find that they end up speaking to us today. No doubt about it. You know why? Because the problems you read there in the Bible are the same problems that we have. And the solutions are exactly the same. The reason being is God doesn't change and the heart of man doesn't change. Needs are the same. Solutions are the same. I remember going to a pastor's conference many, many years ago, going and thinking that my problems in leadership were unique. But when we all those men got together and started talking, they're all the same. They all have the same problems. The solutions were the same. Same here. They speak to us today. I have a series on this and I call it From There to Here. From there, that is, the days of the prophets, to my day and to your situation. The prophets can give us a real message because of the underlying spiritual principles that are there. And of course, there's predictions that come along with that. And keeping all of this in a balance, some people are prophecy fanatics. All they can think about is prophecy in the future. But the prophets were never raised up just to be predicting the future and talking about what's going to happen. So as one Bible teacher said, there are people there, if a camel coughs in the Middle East, they run to their Bible to see if it's a fulfillment of a verse in prophecy. That's true. Notice in Haggai chapter 2, this is in balance. On the same day, Haggai gave a prophecy regarding the future coming temple of when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back and the glory will return. And then on the same day, he gave a word of exhortation, how they were far away from God. Wonderful balance of exhortation and prediction. I won't comment on point 4, 5, and 6, but you can think about that yourself. Look at the closing verse there, Amos 3, 7 and 8. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. You want to know what God's thinking, what he's doing? Go to the prophets. Go to the scriptures. Old Testament prophets, New Testament prophets. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? Cause and effect. I remember I was walking through the jungles of India some years ago, and I was with a group of dear brothers, and they said to me, we were halfway through the jungle, and they said to me, brother, we're in tiger country here. And I said, I wish you'd told me that when we got through the jungle. Wish you'd told me later on when we got through. We didn't have any problems with tigers, but we had trouble with monkeys. Oh, hordes of monkeys are a problem. Now, I would like to add, who will not fear? The Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? And I would like to add, the prophets have prophesied, who can but listen and obey? That's for us, brothers and sisters. As we go through the day, we want to see two things. We want to see the righteous king himself. The king is coming, a true king in Israel, as prophesied. A king will reign in righteousness. Yes, we've got to see him, brothers and sisters. That's the focus. That's uppermost. Seeing the king. I've seen the king in his beauty, says one prophet. And the other one is discovering the promised Messiah in the prophets, John 1:45. What a wonderful testimony and experience for Philip, who said, we have found him of whom the prophets speak about. And that's the Lord Jesus. Next session, brothers and sisters, we'll land and we'll visit some of the kings and prophets.